From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Welcome back.
Doop-a-doot-doot-doot. I don't know. I wanted to do something interesting. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. It is Tuesday. January 20th, 2009.
We're a little loopy. It is show 024. We had a nice, long, interesting, fascinating weekend. Which we're going to tell you about after Storm gives us the rundown on the big board.
Okay, there are currently 115 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Wow.
I know, it's a lot. And getting more rarer. the server fund to replace the server for our webmaster is at 47%. And Whedon Watch, no new progress. Paul McCartney Watch, also no new progress.
Uh-huh.
Go to paulandstorm.com podcast tab if you have no idea what we're talking about.
Which brings us back to the present.
It does, and ties with Poochie Corner, where we discuss Them's Who Talks About Us.
Yes.
And really all the chatter out there is really about this tour we had over the weekend in Denver and two nights in San Francisco.
Yeah, we've been off for about a month and a half, and these were our first dates back, again with our friend Jonathan Colton, and they were wonderful shows. Our first time ever in Denver.
As a performing act.
As a performing group, yeah, I should say. And right out of the bat, there was a full house of 270-odd people there, and that was a fun, neat experience.
That crowd deserves a lot of credit because all three of us have really been on more or less a vacation for at least a month, and their energy just brought to life. I didn't know how we were going to make it through just like vocally.
Yeah, I make this joke a lot, but it is probably truer than it should be that the first show of any, you know, Storm and I live 3 hours apart. I'm near Philly and Storm's near DC, for those who don't know. And the first time out on any tour after a long period off, we refer to as the open rehearsal. you know, it's not quite that bad, but usually it involves some shaking off of some dust and occasional going up on our lines and such. And it really, the crowd can make a huge difference in so far as how that show goes.
They pretty much kept us from metaphorically pooping our pants.
Yeah.
I was pretty proud that, you know, no major gaffes or flubs. And if they were there, the audience was very supportive.
I was pretty proud my underwear stayed clean.
Well, that's a victory on any night.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't have much to do with the layover.
Well, it certainly had to do with the fact that I had been at Casa Bonita the night before.
In case you don't know, Casa Bonita was it was actually parodied on South Park, but it's an over the top Mexican restaurant where they have
Chuck E. Cheese on sad steroids, and like Mexican flavored steroids.
But you said they have like mariachis and what, cliff divers?
Yeah, it's a two-story restaurant. There's a big open area in the middle. There's a pool on the ground floor, and about 15 feet up, there's, you know, they got built what, you know, looks like rocks and a waterfall, and there's a platform where people will, you know, it's basically a high dive. Just doesn't look like it, but these guys will, you know, dive off of there every so often, and there's, you know, crappy skits every 15 minutes, and it's really designed, you know, it's a family theme restaurant.
This isn't one of the topics I have written down, mm-hmm. but like the whole thing of theme restaurants, it seems, I'm trying to think, do they have this kind of thing in other countries or is it uniquely American? And when we first started talking about this now, I thought of, there was a great ice cream restaurant chain when Paul and I were kids called Farrell's.
Right, right.
And it wasn't a theme like Casa Bonita, where it was supposed to be this Mexican land. Like, the theme of Farrell's was, like, ice cream parlor. Which
and noise.
Yeah, actually.
Equal parts ice cream parlor and scary noises.
In fact, here's another Stormy quirk thing. They used to have a thing, if you ordered their biggest, baddest, goopiest sundae, which had like 8 tubs of ice cream in it or something, they would set off like an alarm and like this bell would start going and I guess people would just start screaming and things would explode and a monster would come after you.
It was pandemonium.
I mean, that's what happened in my mind when it happened.
Right.
Like loud noises still happen sometimes.
You were a sensitive child, weren't you?
Oh my, well, not totally, but with the loud noises, like if I was under a, you know, like an elevated train in New York, which I often was.
Not like directly beneath, but.
No, not like on the rails and
not
with the dastardly villain. No, just like safely underneath on a sidewalk as the train passed overhead. I would literally, I would freak out when the train was directly overhead and it was loudest. And start running in circles. And I knew it would happen, like fire engines. Still, even now, I have to like hunker down as if there's a strong wind blowing.
Yeah.
And like brace myself for it. It's like it trips a wire in the brain that says it's just time for you to freak the fuck out.
So now you just freak out and run in circles after sex at this point. You've got it controlled to that point.
Well, I have a number of neuroses and actions that are involved.
You convince
that.
Your wife, you just call them victory laps. And
that's right. And she says, okay, dear. That's
nods
fine.
Knowingly. So, okay, so there was Denver and Casa Bonita. Look that up on the web. It's
Don't
it's
go there. Just look it up.
Yeah. Trust me, the food was, you know, I don't want to get sued. So let's just say that the food was not to my personal expectations.
It wasn't about the cuisine.
No, it was entirely not about the cuisine. It was about the what's the word? Souvenir shop.
So San Francisco.
Yes, we moved on at the next day to 2 days in San Francisco, which was, how would you describe the experience in San Francisco? It was a weekend of increasing geekery, and I mean that in the best possible sense.
I would call it a triumph in the traditional Roman sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was a procession and parade and weeks worth of parties that were just drunken bacchanalia.
Was the breads and circuses?
It was, although now, because it was such a mess, they've decided from now on you can only build a triumphal arch and you can't actually shut the city down.
Oh, that's too bad.
So it was kind of like that.
Storm with 3 points from outside on the etymology minute. Nice going.
Well, you know, kind of, you pick a thing up or two if you, I don't know.
If you're an American studies major in college.
Well, no, actually, American studies wouldn't help you much on Roman history. I think it was going to Rome.
I'm thinking more along the lines of being used to dedicating lots of sort of semi-useless facts.
Oh, God, yeah. I can't look at a movie. I can't listen to a song. I can't even look at a candy wrapper without deconstructing it, like intellectually. And you get used to it after a while, and I don't know, I found I can still enjoy a movie for what it is, but I enjoy it more when I, you know, pick apart the plot lines and...
When you've autopsied it.
Right, and relate it to the photographies of Reese and what it says about poverty, or about the comedy trends and Bugs Bunny's connection to Huck Finn, you know.
Right.
That kind of thing. It always comes back to that.
So let us...
San Francisco.
Briefly recap the events in San Francisco. I guess the first thing we did was we did a guest appearance on another podcast.
Yes.
On the East Meets West podcast with Tom Merritt and Roger, whose last name I never got. I apologize, Roger. You can look it up, though. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That we got to go to the CNET offices. And that was neat. That was it may not have been like visiting the mothership, but it was sort of like you know how like in Empire, no, I guess it was Empire, where like Vader had the huge Star Destroyer, and then there were all the big regular Imperial starships surrounding it. It was like visiting one of Admiral Nita's Imperial starship.
Right, it was like a very official feeling and sanctioned event.
Yes,
you know, And that's what was neat. Like, even as we were sitting in and doing the podcast with them and with Jonathan, who was the main reason for the podcast.
Yeah.
It was sort of like taking mental notes or just comparing and contrasting. Again, deconstructing.
Mm-hmm. I sense a theme.
What a real podcast is like, you know. Not that we're not real and all, because we're thumping my chest. We are real.
But yeah.
Sort of, you know, okay, I see. This really is how it's done here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't like traditional radio where they might be on a tighter timeline and be like, oh, well, this will come out in a month when it's all edited down, you know,
to
the format. And it seemed like it was, you know, what it should be.
Yeah.
So there was that.
There was that.
Excuse me. Okay, so I'm going to... I do have the categories that I wrote up as subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to introduce them now, but I do have one that fits in with what I think we're about to talk about.
Okay.
The category is, we are frauds. And the actual topic is the people that we got to hang out with throughout the time there in San Francisco.
Yes. You know what? I felt this weekend a little bit like a toady.
Yeah, maybe a lackey.
Kind of a lackey, kind of a toady. Like a lackey, though, for me, when I think of a lackey, I think of someone who's obligated to perform a certain number of tasks. Like maybe not to the degree of a butler, but right. Like if we were Jonathan's lackey, like if Jonathan really wanted a sandwich, he'd right. send us out for one.
We've done that.
We've done that, but like we've done it on our terms. Like he wouldn't just turn to us and Paul Storm, go get me a sandwich.
Right. It's more like he sends out his Jonathan vibe so that we know he wants a sandwich.
it's sort of a subsonic sound. It's sort of like, you know, how like right whales or humpbacks will sing, and there's sort of the audible portion, and then there's also a subsonic portion to the song.
Sort of a biological bat signal, you know.
A thrumming.
Oh, by the way, the 10-minute mark was 2 minutes and 15 seconds ago.
Yes.
Or so.
But anyway, just sort of... you know, I was going to talk about this later, but I think this works as long as we don't lose the main point. Keep me on topic if I stray too far, Storm.
Okay, we are frauds, but yes,
we are
ahead.
Frauds. I have been thinking, well, much of my adult and young adult life, I've always sort of had the feeling of that the whole world is sort of like when you're at a party and everybody else knows each other,
except
for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel to some degree or another like that pretty much every day of my life. And I don't say, you know, oh, poor Paulie, life is so hard. That's just sort of the way my brain has been wired and the way I have approached life. I've you know, there might call it an inferiority complex, call it whatever the hell you want. I've just always had.
I don't want to sidetrack you.
Feel like I'm a step slightly behind.
I don't want to sidetrack you too much here.
Sure.
But. A similar thought that I used to have when I was a kid was I assumed that all famous people knew each other.
They all hang out at some club and they're all in on some sort of secret.
Right. And they're it's all happy and fun and you can hope to be part of it, but.
And I'm sure you could go and you could psychoanalyze all this as far as, you know, this is why we went into show business, to try and find that affirmation that we so desperately need at all times to reassure us that we're not terrible, unwanted people, whatever.
I'm not looking for affirmation. I'm just validation.
Validation, affirmation, whatever. But that being said, this weekend was sort of a microcosm of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, before the Sunday night show in San Francisco, we had the pleasure of hanging out with two of the guys from the You Look Nice Today podcast, Merlin Mann and Scott Simpson.
Yeah, which is just an all-star podcast, both of them. And man, I think I may have described Merlin this way, but almost like a more intellectual and always on target Robin Williams.
Yes. Like they're sort of like, if you've never heard the podcast, go and download some of it, because they're very smart. They're very funny. And they're sort of like improv comics, but with all of the annoying removed.
And they're not just trying to be funny. They are funny.
Yeah, they're just funny people. And but the and there's substance behind it. Like, they're not just, you know, and like that, I always feel like I'm guilty of that myself. Like, I'm riffing for the sake of riffing and to show, look how smart and funny I am. Right. These guys, it just seems to be like, that's what they do.
In fact, when we were talking to them, like, Paul went to park the car, dropped Jonathan and I off to meet Merlin and Scott in front of this place where we were going to eat. And immediately we started talking, and it was so obvious that, you know, even in my top gear, and I can't speak for Jonathan, but
right.
that could just not keep that pace mm-hmm. and could see, like, in Merlin's eyes, him sort of gauging and saying, okay, let's just, you know, yeah, ratchet it back one, maybe yeah, two. And
twisting
and
the conversational
right.
dial, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is an amazing thing to be able to do right there, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yes, we had the pleasure of hanging out before the show with them, and that was just sort of an education of its own. The short answer being, we are not Scott Simpson, nor are we Merlin Mann. That was the lesson I took away from it.
But it was a joy to be in their company and talking with them.
Yeah.
So.
And then, do you want to start this or shall I?
Well, you did the stalking.
Okay.
So I think you get to tell the tale.
I get to tell the tale.
I'll interject now.
I will give very brief version of this.
I have an embarrassing story after you've described.
Okay. The very brief version is I got it in my head that I wanted Adam Savage from the show Mythbusters to attend our show because he's from the San Francisco area, and it seemed like he's sort of a kindred spirit. So I put the word out on Twitter, and it just so happened that at that time he had recently joined Twitter, and somebody pointed us in his direction. So we offered him $20 and free drinks to come to our show. And given enough stalking and nagging of him, one thing leads to another. He actually came to the show, and we ended up hanging out post-show for several hours.
Yeah.
And it was exactly the kind of famous person encounter you always dream of having, where they are as nice as you want them to be and generally interested in being there and not just sort of tolerating your presence. You know, we get back to that whole feeling that I'm just sort of, you know, along for the ride because I've got, you know, I'm the guy who's not drinking so I can drive kind of feeling.
Well, I had that feeling a little bit just because I don't know why. I'm not good at the social thing. Even when there are people around that I think are really cool and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my embarrassing moment.
Go for it.
We're talking and it's cool and all. And then I guess we were talking about our music and the fans and all of that. And I described there was the fan who was there at the show this time, but at another show had made us chicken nuggets out of, I guess she sewed the chicken nuggets and put them in a coffin.
Yes.
And all of this stuff, which was really impressive. And I'm describing it to Adam Savage and saying how amazing and cool it is that she made these things. And the moment after it left my mouth, I thought to myself, all right, Adam Savage makes like robots.
Yeah, like real
I've
robots.
Just said how cool it was that someone made some chicken nuggets.
Some fake chicken nuggets out of felt.
Yeah, I felt like the biggest jackass. And,
well, you know, I saw that moment. I didn't think it came across so bad.
You don't think so?
No, not to me. Or maybe I was just so relieved that I wasn't the guy who said it.
See,
I don't know.
That's the thing. When I say things, I overanalyze and I get paranoid. And then I'm like, well, he probably thinks I suck now. I'll shut up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you there. I'm constantly reevaluating all the dumb shit that comes out of my mouth. Now, you know, I look back on this conversation and part of me worries that people are out there thinking, wow, Paul and Storm are just sitting around talking about the famous people they got to hang out with for 20 minutes. And all they're doing is bitching about it. We, you know, God knows we know we are very lucky to be in the position we are in. And that was actually a great deal of our conversation between Jonathan and us and Adam Savage was sort of the cool part of fame is to get access to people who you might not otherwise ever get a chance to meet.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard him talk about this in other places too, about how, you know, he will meet rocket science scientists, Nobel Prize winners, and they will come up to them and start talking to them about rockets. You know, this guy who just makes models and worked on movies and makes a show where they blow stuff up. You know, in a smaller scale, like that's how cool it is for us sometimes when these things work out.
But you know what I like the best about everything that was talked about, and what really kind of gives me heart and hope and succor, or however you pronounce that word,
succor,
is him saying that, you know, once you've found that thing that you love to do and that you get paid for it, that, you know, there, that you have found nirvana.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say we're there yet, but nirvana can't be too far away.
We're certainly closer than we have ever been.
Yeah.
And I do want to say thank you to the Twitter minions out there who pointed us in Adam's direction, and who several of you, I think, sort of, you know, wrote little notices saying, hey, you really should go see their show. It did have an effect to a degree. He did come out. He had a wonderful time at the show. And we appreciate your efforts for our own personal gain.
Well, I think that's a nice positive note.
Yeah.
To finish up with, and segues into... please do go to paulandstorm.com to join the Brigade of Minions, and you can help us meet famous people.
That's right. What else are you going to do with your time, right?
Where are we going to be this
weekend?
We're
going to be in this coming Friday and Saturday, the 23rd. We're in Seattle, Washington at the Moore Theater on Saturday. We'll be at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. Both of those shows are with Colton. February, we've got some stuff coming up in Burlington and Clear Lake, Iowa. And we're going to be at the Birchmere in our home stomping ground in D.C. in the Ram's Head Tavern. We got a whole bunch of good stuff coming up. Oh, brand new shows in Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, and Chicago in the end of February. You can find all of that stuff on our schedule at paulandstorm.com.
You also find Geek Madness. The tournament rolls on, and we're into the Geek 16 at this point, deciding who's going to be there.
That's right. So thank you once again for encouraging us to do the stupid crap that we do in lieu of actual crap. I have been Paul.
I have been and am Storm, and we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. As always, like Ianla tells ya, be a great day.
Go do things.
popping. Line it up. Oh, yeah.
Talk it to him,
man. Talk it to him, man. Kick, boy. Line it up. Come on. Tighten up that, babe.
Kick, kick.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, tighten up, babe. Come on.
Now, look here. I want that guitar to fall in on now. Tighten it up now. Oh, yeah. Now, tighten it up, Augie. Yeah, now everybody tighten it up now. Now look here, we gon' make it mellow for you now. We gon' make it mellow now. Well, tighten it up, you can get it. Move to your left, move to your right. Tighten it up now, everything will be out of sight. Come on and tighten it up now. You can do it.